Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. Amen. Just have a couple of announcements, you know, that I want to make here. I just want to make sure that everyone knows Pastor Terry is here today, but he's working in the nursery to relieve some of the moms so they can be part of the service today. Okay? And not only him, but we have a youth pastor. He's just starting up, and we got him in the nursery already. Training him up right. Now, Austin, he's back there with Pastor Terry also, and he's helping out today. But we just thank them for just sacrificing their time to relieve some of the moms to be part of the service today. Amen. All right, we just want to honor some special people today. We're going to honor the moms, but if you are a school teacher, principal, or anything dealing with teaching kids, we're going to ask you to stand if you would. Okay. That's mentoring too, Miss B. I see you back there. She does mentoring, helping kids in school. Thank God for her. Amen. But we just want to say we honor you today and we thank you for your sacrifice teaching our kids. We just want to say thank you so much. And we just wanted to honor you today and say thank you for teaching our kids. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. All right. So we have a treat for you today. We have three mothers that are going to come and share today. We have Susan Crocs, she's going to come, and Mary Higgins, she's coming, and Holly Von Brill, is I'm pronouncing that correct? Okay, she's going to come. So we'll go in that order. Miss Susan, you up. Okay, and then after her, following Mary, and then Holly, okay?
Good morning. It is so wonderful to be a part of this body of believers, and I am very appreciative to be able to be a part of the worship here today. The worship was really awesome, Charlie. Thank you. Thank you. Well, my best friend, my cheerleader and support person, my husband Ed, is here with me today. So, of course, I want to thank him for supporting and being here with me. And I also want to thank my son, Aaron, for coming to honor me. I really appreciate your being here. I looked around until I found you. It's hard to put into words the thankfulness and awe about how God honors frail vessels of humanity by using us to work out His purposes. Motherhood is such a unique position of responsibility in the life of another person. It's a calling to servanthood. It's a calling to give away the love of God and the life of God in you. We love because God first loved us, and we give His love to our children in tea parties, in playing Legos, in healing wounds with kisses, in hugging sweaty bodies covered in sand and dirt, and in dealing with the roller coaster of emotions in the many seasons of growing up. We present Christ as our beautiful anchor of strength and hope in the droughts and the hurricanes of various kinds that life brings. Any success is wholly due to God's close attention and His intervening grace. I still have a lot to learn, but I just want to share a few thoughts that I believe the Lord has given me to share with you today. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them." Ed and I have been married 42 years, and we had 4 children in 5 years. We were always in the midst of a major life move whenever I was pregnant, either moving to a new job, a new location, or stepping out in faith and moving to no job. It appeared to us each time that God was blessing us, blessing our obedience by giving us another child. The third pregnancy turned out to be twins. And we said, "Wow, we must have really done something good." I purposed in my heart very early that my children would know that they are blessings in my life. We had a small sign on our refrigerator for 30 years that said, "Children are a blessing from the Lord." And that is something every child needs to know, has to have a heart knowledge of as a bedrock foundation for their life. We live in a society where half of our children's classmates have been killed at birth through abortion. And children are frequently portrayed as problems, inconveniences, without value. Do everything you can to make sure your children are secure in the fact that they are loved, that they are precious and valuable and a blessing from God, no matter what their age or their situation. There can never be too many hugs or too many "I love yous," never too much time looking at the bug that they have found or the picture that they have drawn, or listening to how their day has gone, or holding them when life is hard and an embrace does a lot more good than words. I didn't really surrender to Jesus as the Lord of my life until I was 34 years old. My oldest daughter was 2, and I was expecting the second child. I had made a public confession of faith in Christ at 8 years old. But I was one of those sheep that wandered for years in confusion and darkness. So God really began growing me up in Him while my children were growing up. I was on a steep learning curve, and I'm still on the learning curve. I was taught by my parents to be very career-minded. Getting married and having children was not encouraged or really even talked about. So I struggled with the conflicting voices of my parents and being a stay-at-home mom. But God showed me with such clarity that I didn't have to look any farther for the work that He had for me to do. All parents are shepherds, and children are a primary ministry, no matter what else God may call you to do. God created children to be great imitators, and they will mimic what they see and hear in how we live, and they will value what we value. While they're at home, they're watching all the time. What a responsibility we have to pass on the love of God and the love for God to our children. A wise man here at Father's Vineyard recently said, "Speak to people," and I will add that includes very little people. "Speak to people according to their calling and not their condition, according to their identity in Christ and not their behavior. Practice seeing your children through God's eyes, as He created them to be, and speak that truth into their lives. Many people and positions come and go in our spheres of influence, but our relationship to our children is lifelong. Being their mother doesn't end when they turn 18 and leave home. You may think that that is obvious, but as a young mother, I really didn't think that far ahead. The time spent on your knees, wiping noses, picking up Cheerios, and bandaging cuts is now spent on your knees, praying to the only one who loves them more than you do, and the only one who has the answers to their adult-sized needs. If you don't already know Jesus as your source for everything, being a parent will bring you to that point. To mothers in your 40s, 60s, and 80s, let me say that your children, your spiritual children, as well as your biological children, are still peering into the window of your lives and watching your walk. Don't stop growing and pressing on. Your influence is so much greater than you know. Your faithfulness and your prayers are affecting future generations. Having said that God was growing me up while my children were growing up, let me add that children are a refiner's fire. When you marry, you both commit to love one another for better or worse. But when you have a baby, you commit to love someone who is not making any commitment to love you back. You begin to live out a faint reflection of the great sacrificial love of God for His children. You bring the baby home from the hospital, and suddenly all personal interests are on the back burner. This is your wake-up call that God is going to use this new little person in your life to teach you to die to self, to gradually winnow out old attitudes, old habits, wrong perspectives, to instill more patience, humility, and perseverance than is humanly possible, and to show Himself faithful and true. Two of the verses on display in our home are Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And Luke 9:62. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Those verses spoke to me many, many times during long nights of little sleep with small children, long days of dealing with difficult problems of older children, and also over 19 years of studying late at night for our homeschool so I could do my best and my children could be their best. God is so loving and faithful. I remember thoughts of feeling like I was hanging on by my fingernails as my children transitioned into adulthood, and I could no longer solve their problems. When these times come, fix your eyes on the Lord and not on the circumstances. Love your children and pray. Trust God. Hand your children over to Him and pray. Praise God that He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and that He loves your children more than you do. Watch to see God at work, encouraging you and answering your prayers, and point these events and moments out to your children, if you can, to build their faith. All of us have issues to deal with, and that includes our children. God may have to bring your children to a point of desperation to get them to surrender to His will like He did me. They may go through hard experiences, But that is where their head knowledge becomes heart knowledge. And they learn that they can lean on Him and that He is with them. They too have to learn firsthand about the love of God. And He knows the plans He has for them. We learn so much about the heart of God during these times. While you're walking through the fire vicariously with your child, because that's what love does, remember that God is walking with both of you, and He is already in their future. Mine and Ed's children are all in their 30s now. And the Lord continues to use their situations in my life to teach me still more about humility, about His amazing mercy, about the power of prayer, and about His grace poured out so abundantly. Despite making tons of parenting mistakes, I am blessed to have the love and friendship of these four special people. So be encouraged. God is faithful and so true. He is with us all the way on this journey of motherhood. Happy Mother's Day, and thank you for listening to This Mother's Heart.
I'm Mary. I tell you what, wouldn't you have liked to have grown up in that home? Wow. Wow. I was just telling my girls back there, my sisters, I really don't need to say anything because Susan has very, very eloquently put it out there. But I'm committed. So here we go. You know, as being a mother is, it is not an easy job, but I can honestly tell you, it's one of the most rewarding things that I have ever done. And it's no glory to myself, but only to Him. I have been blessed and had the privilege of raising four of the most wonderful, wild, kind, loving, very free-spirited children on the planet. And my children, they are very, 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 indeed very different. And that's because I'm very different. And they get that from their mama. If there is just a few things that I could say that Miss Susan didn't say, I would just really want to encourage all the mothers, never give up on your children. Never give up. Don't ever, ever, ever give up. You can love them. You can. You can love them through anything that they face. And fight fiercely for them in the spirit and in prayer. Because in this day and time, more than ever before, it's what's needed. I can tell you, when my children started to become teenagers and growing into adulthood, that was the hardest transition of motherhood. It's because they're no longer your little babies. They're young adults. And they're going to be somebody's mother. They're going to be somebody's father, somebody's husband, somebody's wife. So me, being the personality type that I am, that was the very, very hardest transition for me, was letting go. I had always dedicated my children to the Lord, but that was a different level of dedication because guess what? Mama's not in control anymore. Not that I'm a control freak. But when they're under your roof and they're under your feet, you still have control. But when they're out of your sight and they're driving a car, that's a little different story. And, you know, we all know the battle's in the mind, most of it. It's always worst case scenario. Always worst case scenario playing out in your mind. But anyway, I do remember when that teenage time came along, and without exposing too much, because I don't do that. But anyway, there was a time that the enemy tried to take over and take hold of one of my children in a real bad way. And that was when that fight fiercely in prayer became a very real thing for me. And that is when my youngest daughter and I, she became my prayer partner at the age of 11. And I remember those times of the both of us on our face before the Lord, crying out for her sibling. And I'm here to tell you, God turned it around. Amen. He turned it around in a quite miraculous way. And to having adult children, I mean, my youngest child will be 30 in October. I know I don't look that old, do I? Yeah, I do. But she'll be 30 in October, and it's so surreal because when they were little and then the teenagers, it was like Susan said, hanging on by her fingernails. It was like, dear God in heaven, I ain't never going to get these kids grown. It's just never going to happen. And then it's like all of a sudden I have adults. They're adults. And I can tell you, we don't always agree, but it was always an endeavor to always speak honestly with my children. That's what my daughter says. She says, Mama, you really always kept it real. I always speak honestly. And don't lie to your children. Don't lie to them. If they ask a question, give an age-appropriate answer and tell them the truth. Because they need to know that they can trust you. Because if you lie to them, they will find out. And they won't trust you. And, yeah. And they still are very different, very wild people. And if you don't believe it, just show up at my house about 3 o'clock and you'll see just how wild it gets around my house. But so I'm going to share with you all some of the pearls of wisdom that I shared with my kids. Don't judge. That's all. Don't judge. But I'm going to share them with you. My number one saying was, eggs don't dance with rocks. And there's a reason for that. It's because all of our children are different. I don't care how many you have. Each one of those children is different. And they are to be treated differently according to their character and according to who they are and their makeup. They're just their God-given DNA. So my saying was always, eggs don't dance with rocks. And here's why. My children, like I said, they're a lot like their mama. Well, we had this huge black walnut tree in our yard. And if anybody knows anything about black walnuts, you know how hard those things are. Okay. Well, my kids had this game that they loved to play called War. And it involved chunking black walnuts at each other, building little forts and barricades. And boom, boom. Well, Shannon, my baby girl, she was never, the older kids would never allow her to play War. The very first time she played War, Her brother says, stay with me. You know, you'll be okay if you stay with me. They're behind their little barricade. And he says, duck. And she goes, why? Goose egg right there in the middle of her forehead. Goose egg. So that's why. Eggs don't dance with rocks because the eggs get broken. That's why they don't mingle. Anyway, but you just have to know my kids. And one of the second things was, I ain't your friend. I ain't your friend. My oldest daughter always had such a flair for the dramatic. Don't know where she gets that from either. But her thing was, when she couldn't get her way or whatever, if I said no, I'm not your friend. And I was like, well, you know, that probably should bother me. But it doesn't. And I remember telling her, so it's really a God moment, because the things in life are more caught than taught. And it was really a God moment, because I looked at her and I said, you know what? One day we might be friends, but today is not that day. God did not give you to me for me to be your friend. He gave you to me for me to be your mother. And I'm going to be your mother. Well, fast forward about 20-some years, and we were having a lunch date, because we do that a lot. We were having a lunch date. And I just looked at her. I said, geez, it finally happened. She said, what? I said, we're friends. We're friends. And number three, my third saying, and again, don't judge. This is just what happened. Just what happened. That's all I can say. It happened. But my third saying was, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. Because being dumb will cause you some pain. If you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. As my girls come stumbling to the house, bleeding, it wasn't that serious, but they were bleeding, had wrecked a four-wheeler. Now, thank you, Jesus, for angels, because it could have been real, real bad, but it wasn't. And they come, and as soon as they see my face, they both, oh, mama, wait a minute. And if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. I told you. I warned you. And, of course, I did make sure that they were okay. And they were. They were just fine. But anyway, that saying goes to, if you make decisions that you know you should not be doing, be prepared to pay the consequences. Be prepared. And, this one, I don't like your gift. That happened when, we're farm people. We're woodsy people, woodsy. And my kids were always bringing me, and still do, rocks. I collected rocks for years. They'd bring me cow bones or any kind of carcass that they could find, you know. So they come running up out of the woods. Mama, come outside. Mikey got you something. I go outside and I like to have a heart attack. He's standing there holding a live snake. And I said, throw that thing down. No, wait a minute. Hold on. I stepped back in the house and got something to kill it with. And I said, now you throw it that way and run that way. Don't bring me no snakes. I don't like those gifts. I don't like those. I don't like them. And I can tell you, this one too, yeah. Hard head makes a soft behind. If you aren't listening and you aren't following instructions and you're being disobedient, that's going to cause some some physical pain as well. So, but I say, I talked to my kids several times throughout the years since they became adults, and I asked them, you know, I know I was a hard mama. I know I was. And we just talk about it, just in talking. And my daughter told me the other day, she said, you know, Mama, we didn't miss. I mean, we had one TV for years, and it was in the living room. It was a family thing. No satellite until my oldest daughter was like almost 20. So, and that to say, when you're present with your children, be present. I wasn't perfect. I was far, far, far from perfect. Be present with your children. When you're doing this or this, you're not doing this. Be present with them. And above all else, children have to know that they're loved no matter what. No matter what. One of the worst possible things that I can remember hearing as a child, if you get in trouble, don't call me. And it's still true to this day. If one of my children get in trouble, I'm going to be the first person they call. They know they're going to hear a sermon, but they know that I'm going to be there. And you know, those special individual little things that each child liked. Like my youngest daughter, we'd go on midnight shopping adventures just for no reason. I mean, we'd just go shopping at midnight and some shop till, especially on Black Friday, shop till the next morning. I mean, almost till lunchtime the next day. So we had a very, very special bond with that. And I remember waking my children up. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. There was a meteor shower. So I put on a pot of coffee, and we all go outside in the freezing cold, and we watch a meteor shower until the sun comes up. Those are things that I'll never, ever forget. And I don't think they will either. Because a lot of those things we still do. My son and I, we still stargaze and look at the moon and different things. And it's a valuable thing to just be with them, to just be with them. And, you know, I have a no-knock policy at my house. My children don't knock when they come through the door, neither do my grandchildren. They come in. They don't ask for anything in the refrigerator. They get whatever they want. And it's, you know, food is a very, we like to cook. We like to cook together. And that's a very, very big love language in my family. If I've ever cooked for you, it's because you really have a special place in my heart. And that's one of the things that we love to do together. It's cooking. When in those teenage years, and even still now to this day, there's a scripture that the Lord gave me in praying for my children, and it's in Psalm 89, and he said, even when your children go astray, or he was talking to David, even when your sons go astray, when your children go astray, even with discipline, I will never remove my loving kindness from them. And that's one of the things that I stood on and still stand on, is that God's promise is that he'll never, ever, ever take his loving kindness away from my children. And that's another one of those things when your children, all you really, really have to give your kids, your children, is Jesus. It's like I tell them, you're not always going to have me here with you, but you will have Holy Spirit. And one of the most critical things that we can do as parents is teach our children to hear the voice of God and obey it. Obey it. If there is one thing that I wanted to say, especially to young moms, because sometimes we do this to ourselves, we'll think about all the damage, because we're damaged people raising little people. And, you know, damaged people cause damage. And I remember having a moment one time thinking about, God, have I failed as a mother? Whatever. And the Lord reminded me he can repair any damage that I think that I could have caused, just like that, with a surrendered heart. He can fix it. And to any mother out there, I want to tell you something. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't do that to yourself. And don't compare yourself to any other mother, because God gave you those children, not somebody else. And you're raising your kids right. If you're raising them with a heart toward God, you're raising them right. You're sharpening your arrows for the future if you're raising them with a heart towards the Lord. And don't give up. Don't compare yourself. And don't be hard on yourself. And when you need to take a moment, and I suggest you do this every day, take a moment to go and be with the Lord so that you can be who He needs you to be for your little people. So be blessed and happy Mother's Day.
When she was speaking about arrows, all I could think about is, direction. And whenever you fire an arrow, you have a direction, and there's an intent and where it's going to go. And that's what parents do. When you raise your children and you raise them under the ways of God, you send them off with a direction. And so today, I am a mother, but today I want to talk to you from the perspective of being a daughter. And so I want to talk about the blessing of being adopted. How many of you have been adopted? I know it seems like a trick question, but if you're born again, you've been adopted into God's family. And He's predestined you for adoption. It says in Ephesians 1:4-5, it says that, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will." And so He predestined us for adoption. And so not only have I been adopted into a heavenly family, but I've been adopted into a earthly family as well. Children in foster care come from broken homes and often have behavioral and emotional issues and require a great amount of love and affection. Mothers are chosen by God, and adopted mothers are appointed by Him. It takes a special woman to be a foster parent. My mom is that special woman. What makes my mom special is that she is a woman of godly character. She is compassionate. She and my dad had adopted 6 of us, all from 6 different families and 6 different backgrounds. Not only did she adopt 6 of us, but she was a foster parent to over 30 children while I was growing up. And she even parented her grandchildren. My mom had loved and cared for all of us as if we were her own. She is a woman of sacrifice. Growing up, we lived a very productive life. We were always very busy. And I often question how she kept her sanity. Several of us played sports in school and in rec leagues. Several of us did dance. One of my sisters danced competitively. Another sister was in band. Another in color guard. Then she would come home. She would cook. She would clean. She would do laundry. She homeschooled one of my sisters for a couple years. She always put the needs and desires of us before herself. If you saw her stand earlier, you know that she is a teacher. She owned and operated Grace Christian Preschool. She homeschooled, and she later in life, while raising us, she received her bachelor's degree in early childhood education while she was working and raising her family. Not only is she a teacher in that aspect, but she taught me how to be a woman, and she taught me how to be a mother. She is a woman who loves. I know I was not the easiest kid to raise, especially in those teenage years. And up through my 20s was probably the hardest part for her. Although growing up, I often questioned my biological mother's love for me, not once did I question my adopted mother's love for me. Her love for us is unconditional. We didn't have to love her. We didn't have to earn her love. She just gave it. I remember a time in my life that I stood in the kitchen and I screamed at her. And I told her, "You're not my real mom." I was hurt and I didn't understand why my biological mother didn't want me or didn't love me. I was projecting my pain onto her. But later in life, I realized that she is the epitome of a real mom. She loved me even when it hurt. It is clear that adoption is dear to the heart of God. He tells us to take care of the orphan and the widow. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." It is the example set by my earthly family that has helped me put into perspective my spiritual adoption. Proverbs 31:20 says that she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. It is because of her stretching out her hands that I have a mother. It is because of these hands that I am adopted, both physically and spiritually. Thank you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Precious. Amen. Let's give all our mothers a hand. You guys did a great job. Thank you. Amen. At this time, if you are a mom, we're going to ask you, if you would, to just come and kind of line up down. We have a gift for you today from the staff here at Father's Vineyard. And if you moms, if you can't come, just if you're not able to come, we'll get you. That's precious. Woo. Just spread out down this way. All righty. Okay. Elder Doug, if you would give Miss B and Miss, you got them taken care of. Good. goodness. All right. Well, we want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. We know that you have the light of Jesus in your life, but we want to give you a light that you can carry with you also. And Pastor Terry has wanted us to present this gift to you. And he said there was a lot of ladies that when we gave the man their flashlight, said, why can't we have a flashlight? Okay. So this year you get a flashlight, okay? Amen. So if we ask our guys, if you would, to go ahead and give those out and let the ladies, let these moms grab them a flashlight, okay? Amen. We're so thankful for you this morning and just pray that you have a blessed rest of the day. Amen. Oh, I see them lighting them up already. Bless you. Okay, have everyone received one? Okay, good. Everyone has one? All right, let's just pray over you guys. We want to thank the Lord for you. Father, we just thank you for these moms today, Lord. And God, just what they mean to the family, Lord. And God, without them, there's none of us. And Lord, we thank you for these moms. We pray that this day would be full of joy and happiness for them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you. So go light your world. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Well, we want to thank you for coming today, and Sister Henry Ann, just remind me, do we have any first-time visitors today? This is your first time coming to Father's Vineyard. Okay, thank you for coming, being a part of the service. I think this is this Sarah, Ben's family, relatives. Okay, thank you for coming. Come back and see us. We just appreciate you coming out today. But we just want to give another opportunity. How many know that I think when Miss Susan was talking, she said, you know, it takes Jesus. Amen. And I don't want to leave today without giving you an opportunity, if you don't know him, to get to know him. So if there's someone here that does not know Jesus and would love to accept him today, just raise your hand and we will definitely take time and lead you to the Lord. Is there anyone? Okay. Is there anyone that needs prayer today? Okay, if you would just meet me down here at the altar, we'll go ahead and dismiss, and you know, just be respectful. We're going to be praying here. If you need prayer, just come down, and we can get some of the prayer team and to pray with the ones that are coming down, okay? As we dismiss, you can come forward, all right? So, Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, as we depart from this place, but never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and those that desire to be prayed for, just come on down.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.